My guest at this time is retired U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Duff. She has joined us many times to discuss the issues related to veterans care and the bureaucratic structure of the VA itself. We should also point out she's now affiliated with the London Center for Policy Research. We want to get her thoughts now as political controversy swirls around the president's choice of Dr. Ronnie Jackson to be the next VA secretary. And most importantly, what needs to be done moving forward at the VA. And Jessie, it's always good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's always fun to be here.
Thank you. So President Trump on a Tuesday, a little bit leaving it to Dr. Jackson's own discretion as to whether or not he should stay in this effort to become the VA secretary. We have pretty vague allegations of him either being under the influence on the job or other quote-unquote inappropriate behavior. We really don't have any details yet. He still seems to be fighting. He was up on Capitol Hill today, Dr. Jackson himself, the president, saying he stands behind him but would understand if Jackson didn't want to go through the political gristmill here. So what do you make of all this?
Well, if Ronnie Jackson is still aggressively pursuing to go through this scrutiny, that gives me great confidence that these allegations are probably not very tangible or based on anything that can be actually, I guess you could say, quantified by actual witnesses. We haven't heard who has said this. We haven't heard any type of information. Like you said, we really have nothing but two supposed allegations of this being made. I would suspect that if he himself knew that these things were true, he would not want to go forward and get embarrassed during any type of confirmation. That, to me, would be very much a no-brainer. Like, who wants to go up there and get humiliated, especially when there's been a preemptive indication that somebody suspects something? On the other hand, I would also say that if these allegations are true, that is concerning. So I'm kind of torn. I wonder where these things – I didn't have an opportunity to look at the allegations, who the senators were that were reviewing them. I'm curious if they were Democrat, and the reason I say that is they certainly didn't have a problem with Ronnie Jackson being the physician to President Obama. And now if he is being nominated by President Trump, sometimes I do smell a rat when you're dealing with the swamp in D.C. It's always like that. Things are very partisan and they become very ugly when the person you want in office is not, and vice versa. So I guess all we can do is just hold our breath and wait and see.
One of the things we've seen even outside of these unspecified allegations at this point, a lot of folks in the media saying, whoa, this nominee didn't come up the normal way to be in position for this job, which is probably true, but whether or not we should be concerned about it is a question. Do you like the fact that the president looked in a different direction, or is there a reason that most VA secretaries come up a certain way?
Well, we haven't had the best of luck with a lot of our VA secretaries, so I'm open-minded at this point. I think many men have gone in there with vast experience but incapable of dealing with the Washington bureaucracy. We are talking about an agency that is the second largest agency in D.C., or basically in the federal government. It's only second to DOD, Department of Defense. Being a physician was not necessarily significant to me because you're not going to be actually going out there and running the hospitals. This is someone that I am hopeful can manage this bureaucracy, who understands what he needs to do. You're dealing with multiple regional directors. You're dealing with high-level personnel within the department that you cannot fire without verifiable allegations of some sort. I mean, look how hard it was to get rid of Sharon Hellman, who was in charge of the Phoenix Hospital, where the 45 veterans had died on that wait list for just medical appointments. And in the end, she didn't get fired for that. She got fired for some, I think, as I recall, a travel claim that they felt wasn't filed correctly. And as I recall, she may have appealed it. I don't know if she won, but she may have gotten back pay. So we're talking about very difficult to get rid of things. It's very difficult to get rid of old people who've been embedded into a system. And I don't mean literally old, but as in those who have been there for multiple years. So I'm nervous with this selection only because I know so little about him. It's not that I don't think he's qualified or unqualified. I just don't have a lot of information about Ronnie Jackson's skills and qualifications. But when we talk about somebody who isn't coming up the normal channels, we got to look at one thing. Our president didn't come up the normal channels. And with that said, maybe he's the perfect person for this. Maybe the fact is that he doesn't have a lot of the dinge and dirt on him that many of these politicians grow, and doesn't have the loyalties that some people have. So I'm optimistic if the president has confidence in him, but I cannot attest to Ronny Jackson. I have gathered from very, very close contacts to him that he is a wonderful person. And one person, Dan Bongino, who I know well also, made a very hysterical tweet that was essentially, I would dare any of these people to talk about drinking if they don't want me to start coming forward with all of those in the Obama's administration that I witnessed drinking quite heavily when they were on their travels. So, you know, you got to be very careful throwing stones, I suppose, in Washington, D.C., because this is a city that has a lot of folks that have been known to have one or two more many than they probably should have, and have thought they were behind closed doors, but others have seen them. So it's going to be interesting to see what this actually turns into be.
We're talking with Jessie Jane Duff. She's with the London Center for Policy Research. She's also a 20-year active duty U.S. Marine, retired now, but a gunny sergeant back in the day. Jessie, whenever we have a new secretary, what's priority number one? Is it once again wrestling with the bureaucracy? Is there a specific problem that a lot of veterans are facing that needs to be addressed first? What's number one on the list?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues that veterans have been trying to arm wrestle with getting approvals from Congress and appropriate funding is deciding how to get outside care for veterans, and not to just be completely dependent upon the VA. There are many, many locations throughout the Veterans Administration with their hospitals where people have been waiting for cancer treatment or treatments beyond what we'd normally expect if they were on a regular insurance provider. In those cases, we have been trying to, many people have been trying to get this so that they can use private care. There's also been a bill that was passed that if you were outside of a VA facility 40 miles and, or have waited over 30 days to get an appointment, you were able to go get private care. Here's the hurdle with that. They're not necessarily reimbursing these doctors at the same rates that they would normally make with customers. And at the end of the day, the proposals on the Hill have been to pay them higher than your Medicaid rates, but sometimes that still isn't going to necessarily entice doctors to want to bring in additional veterans on their roster, because there's been huge issues with the VA reimbursing those doctors. We've got a lot of flaws in this and a lot of holes in this. I've heard vets tell me, well, I live 40 miles away, I can't get to the VA center. I will say this to anybody over a certain age. My parents are 93 years old, and rule number one was live 10 minutes away from a hospital. At some point in your life, all Americans know that the hospital is not going to come to you. You do have a responsibility to live near the best healthcare provider you can find for your circumstances. And I've never heard anybody make that argument. They're consistently saying, well, these poor vets that live so far away. If you have serious medical issues, we know that the VA is not going to be able to always be in a local address for you. I'm not suggesting everybody must get up and move. I'm not suggesting that everyone has to do that, but you've got to take that in consideration when you start having serious health issues. And if you're going to wrestle with the VA trying to get outside care, meanwhile, you have a serious condition that's not getting addressed, that's not smart. You know, as we age, medical care is far more critical than sometimes when you're 25 years old. So everyone, there's a lot of areas that have to be taken into consideration. I do support outside care when it's needed. There's a lot of things the VA does do well, such as prosthesis, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, Agent Orange illness. There's been, you know, private care has not been able to necessarily diagnose or keep up with some of these issues that are very distinctive to combat veterans. On the other hand, basic things, and even some of the things such as cancer treatments, often outside care can provide better or more effective care. At the end of the day, if you rate the use of the Veterans Administration, you shouldn't have to be waiting such extended periods for your medical care that you could potentially die waiting or suffer longer. That has to get resolved.
Jessie, last question. It's been about 15 months now since the change of administrations. How much better, or how much has things changed in those 15 months? And how does it compare with what you were hoping to see at this point?
Well, that little sigh I have is probably a little bit of exasperation, because Shulkin had to resign, which unfortunately is leading us right to the discussion we're having now about Ronny Jackson. Whenever you have a change of heads, it does cause delays in moving forward. The VA has got a long way to go. Many of the medical records are not getting transferred over from DOD. There's been a stall on that with the IT systems that I've gathered. They haven't transferred these over. You know, there's always some sort of a hiccup. They have passed legislation where they can actually start firing employees who have been shown to have egregious performance or unacceptable performance, but that should be across the government. I'm not a fan of just firing people because a new administration comes in place. I think it has to be proven or shown or demonstrated that you were not in full performance of your job, and these impacted the customer, in this case your veterans, in a significant or detrimental way. So these areas have started. We've been moving on them. As I said, we've been working on, and when I say we, people like myself, for probably the last 8 years, have been working on getting private care access to veterans. And time again, we've hit another hiccup, another delay, problems with the VA getting the bills paid for those that use private care. These things just, you just cannot imagine how difficult it is to get change in Washington because of these bureaucracies that have been embedded, systems that are very difficult to change overnight. It takes diligence and a lot of perseverance. I didn't expect dramatic changes in 15 months, but I did expect to see changes in the right direction. The fact that they've been working on firing those employees that have been defaulted in their responsibilities for those veterans, that's a huge win for me. And the fact that we are still working on the private care, we have made accomplishments on that area, that's a huge win for me. But nowhere are we done with this battle. This war has been going for a while with the Veterans Administration.
Well, we'll certainly keep watching, and we'll have you back to talk about hopefully more progress down the road. Jesse, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jesse Jane Duff, U.S. Marine Corps retired gunnery sergeant, and she's now at the London Center for Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.